If you would, go ahead and turn in your Bible to Galatians chapter 6. We'll be looking at verses 6 through 10. We have two lessons left in our study of the book of Galatians, today's and next week. In Galatians chapter 6, beginning in verse 6, we're going to read down through to verse 10. Paul writes, "Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, and especially unto them who are of the household of faith." And so our lesson today is titled, "What You Sow is What You Get." And every day we make choices that directly impacts the quality of our life, either for good or bad. Paul says, "What you sow is what you get." So here is an unalterable principle. A man reaps what he sows. And so God governs the moral world with laws that are just as absolute as the laws that govern the physical world. So if you jump off of a bridge, you will crash. Every time you jump off of a bridge, you will crash, because there is a law that will see to the fact that you crash. It's the law of gravity. In the same way, there are moral laws that God has built into his creation, that if they are mocked, we will reap the consequences. For example, if we sow gossip, we will reap a bad reputation. If we sow Bible neglect, we will reap biblical illiteracy. If we sow drunkenness, we will reap cirrhosis of the liver or a broken family or some other consequence. And so you can't mock God and get away with it. You can't sow bad seed all week and then pray for crop failure, right? That's just not going to happen. And so, you know, there are some people that think, well, you know, they can just sow bad seed and then they can just pray for forgiveness or renew their commitment to God, and that's going to make all the consequences of bad decisions go away. And it's not. It's not. Because if God did that, we would never learn to hate sin. If every time we did wrong and we prayed for God to forgive us and he took that consequence away, we're going to do it again and again and again. It's when it hurts that you stop doing it. And so we're always going to get hurt if we think we can sow bad seed and get away with it. And so there are laws of sowing and reaping that we understand in the physical realm, and they also, I believe, apply to the spiritual realm. And so let's look at just three of these laws. For example, we reap what we sow, right? So if you sow a tomato seed, what are you going to get? You're going to get tomatoes. You're not going to get a watermelon. You're not going to get a surprise and get a pineapple. You're going to always get tomato seeds because you reap what you sow. Secondly, we reap more than we sow. So we understand this. If I plant a tomato plant, I'm not expecting one tomato. I'm expecting a crop. I'm expecting multiple tomatoes. And that's what happens. Whoever plants a seed and gets one of anything doesn't happen. Unless you're a terrible gardener, it might happen. But the law is we reap more than we sow. The third law is we reap later than we sow. So no one plants a garden in the morning and then goes out in the afternoon looking for fruit. It doesn't happen. We know that time is going to go by before we reap. And that's why sometimes we can sin and think we get away with it, because we sin and nothing happens. Well, nothing happens today, or maybe nothing happens tomorrow. Maybe nothing happens for 2 weeks. But something will happen. You will reap later than you sow. And so these are laws, and these physical laws, I believe, apply to the spiritual realm as well, and that's what Paul is drawing from. And so Paul wrote these words, though, to encourage us. That's why he wrote these words. He didn't write these words to cause fear in God's people. He wrote these words to encourage us so that we are sowing good seed. And if we sow good seed, we're going to have a good harvest. And so he wants us to have a great harvest. And so if we use our lives to sow deeds of kindness, we are going to reap a harvest of kindness from God. That's a guarantee. And so in verses 1 through 5, Paul points out that if we sow to help others, we can sow to help others to escape the burden of sin. And it's something we should do. And that's what he talks about in the first few verses of chapter 6. But then in verses 6 through 10, the text we're looking at, Paul says that we can sow to help people escape the burden of financial pressure. And so he's encouraging us to give and to help our brethren. And by the way, you can measure a man's value of spiritual things by how he sows his material things. For example, Jesus said, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And so if we really believe in grace, then we are going to be generous and selfless in our giving. And so Paul writes in Galatians here and says, if you really believe in the grace of God, and that's something Paul has preached really hard on, right? Grace. We understand that our salvation is rooted in the grace of God. He says, if you really believe in the grace of God, then sow to the glory of God. So there are three fields that we need to be sowing in. And each one of them comes directly out of the text this morning. Number one, Paul says we must sow in order to release the word. Look at verse 6. He says, "And let the one who has taught the word share all good things with him who teaches." And so if we want the word to be released, then we must support the men who preach it. And so it's encouraging us to support men, whether it's men in the pulpit or men that go into prisons or men and women that go into the mission field, whatever it might be. But we're supposed to sow in order that the word can go forth. Paul talks about this elsewhere in his writings. For example, in 1 Corinthians 9, verses 11 through 14, Paul says, "If we have sowed spiritual things to you, is it too much if we reap material things from you? If others share the right over you, do we not more? Nevertheless, we did not use this right, but we endure all things so that we will cause no hindrance to the gospel of Christ." He says, "Do you not know that those who perform the sacred services eat the food of the temple? And those who attend regularly to the altar have their share from the altar. So also the Lord directed those who proclaim the gospel to get their living from the gospel." And so we need to sow in order that the word can be proclaimed. And so if you're a member of this church, it's important that you be a faithful and regular giver in order that God's word can go forth. If you've been blessed by this church, then you need to give in order that others might be blessed as well. So it's really important that we sow in order that the word can go forth in the world. That's something Paul is promoting here. But number two, we must sow to the Spirit. You see, every decision has a corresponding reward in life and one beyond. When you think about it, you invest or sow either in the flesh or in the Spirit. Life is full of decisions. And as I've already indicated, life is all about sowing and reaping. Every day we sow. Every decision we make has a consequence. Every deed we do has a consequence. So really, our life and everything it is really due to the choices that we make in life. And that's what we do every day. And so if we make good, I can tell you, if you really want to have a good life, a wonderful life, you want life to really be good, then just make good choices. Sow good seed. If you sow good seed, you're going to have a great harvest. But if you don't sow good seed, then you're not going to have a good harvest, and life is going to stink. And so let me ask you this. How do you use your money? Do you let the spirit guide you, or the flesh guide you in the spending of your money? As you spend money, ask yourself the question, am I sowing to the flesh or am I sowing to the spirit? And it's a good question to ask when we are using the resources that God has given us. Did you know that during the Middle Ages, the Franks would not they would baptize their entire body except their right hand? You know why? Because they wanted to bear the sword. They wanted to continue to kill and defend themselves with the sword. And so they baptized their entire body with the exception of the right hand. And so, Christian, have you baptized your wallet? Now, I know this church is really generous. It's a very, very generous church. And in fact, I don't think I've preached a message on giving in years. Probably years, just because the church is so good in giving and knowing this. But it's important that if you haven't baptized your wallet, you baptize your wallet, right? Because we want to use what God gives us for God's purposes. We need to sow to the Spirit. So think about the movies you watch. Think about the music you listen to. Think about the books that you read. You see, you cannot sow carnality and reap holiness. It doesn't work that way. What I sow is what I'm going to reap. And so it's really important that I sow as God calls me to sow. Paul says this in Romans 12 verses 1 and 2. He says, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your body as a living, holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And then the Apostle Paul says this in the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your affection or your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. And so Paul is encouraging us to sow spiritual things. But number three today, we must sow to ease the needs of others. See, no one in God's family should ever lack for anything as long as he or she has brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Paul says we should give to help all people, but he says especially those who are of the household of faith in verse 10. Look at that verse. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, and especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So we're supposed to do good unto all people, not just God's people, not just the saints. We're supposed to do good to all. But he says, but especially God's people, God's family. God's family should take care of God's family. Some Christians become weary in well-doing because they don't come right away. Remember, we reap later than we sow. We don't reap immediately, but later than we sow. And so they will come. You don't plant a harvest, plant a field and then harvest it in the same day. So weariness is something that all of us experience. We get weary. We get weary for a number of reasons. We get weary because maybe we don't feel appreciated. Maybe we feel like what we're doing in the church is not appreciated. And so we can get a little bit discouraged by that. We get weary by that. And what happens when you get discouraged? You quit. That's what discouragement does. You quit. When you get discouraged, you quit. You stop because you've been discouraged. And so it's really important that we understand that the blessings that God promises us as we sow good seed, they will come. They will come. Just keep sowing. Listen to Paul. He says, all the labor that we do in Jesus Christ will be richly rewarded. So don't give up doing good. Because look at verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So the rewards are coming. God's blessings are coming. Stay faithful and keep doing what God wants you to do, because the harvest is coming. And so Paul was encouraging us to sow in these three fields today. And I want to encourage you, if you're not sowing in these three fields, to sow into these three fields, because Paul has given us very specific information about sowing in various areas to help the kingdom of God. And so today, if you're not sowing in these fields, let me encourage you to sow in these fields. And then for those of you who don't have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, if you do not have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, we want to encourage you to have a relationship with Him. And the Bible is so clear on this. The Bible says that we've all sinned, we've all fallen short of the glory of God. As a consequence of our sin, we've all been separated from God. The Bible says we're separated from God, we're dead in sin, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. But the good news is, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. So when we were dead in our sins, separated from God, God in love acted, sent Christ. He died on the cross and paid the penalty of sin. With sin, when you sin, there's a consequence. That consequence is a penalty. The wages of sin is death. Because of sin, death is the consequence. Death has to be paid. And so, if Jesus didn't come into the world, you would have to pay the consequence. You would have to pay that. But He came into the world, and He took the consequence of death upon Himself so that we would not have to suffer death. That's the good news of the gospel, that through Jesus Christ, your sins can be forgiven. Through Jesus Christ, you can be reconciled to God. Through Jesus Christ, you can have life forever. But now the Bible says that today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, not next week, but today. Today is all that we have. There's no guarantee of tomorrow. Right now is what you have. Today is what you have. You need to act in the day. And that's why the Bible says, you know, if you hear the Spirit, don't harden your hearts, right? And so maybe God is speaking to you today through these words, and He's drawing you to Himself. If that's true, we're going to sing a song. And as we sing this song, we want to invite you to come to Jesus in order that you might have life. If you have any other need in your life whatsoever, this is also a time to make that known. And let us minister to you, because we want to help you. So come as we sing.
As I am without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee.